Lord, we thank you afresh for this day. What a privilege it is to worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank you for traveling grace and mercies to be here at this great church. Thank you for the hospitality, the welcomeness, the warmness. And I ask now that as your preaching hour has arrived, that you might be pleased to preach me and use me as your instrument of praise. I ask now that you might allow your word to go forth, that we might be encouraged, that we might be strengthened, that even in our hurts, we might have the power and strength to continue on. Bless our time together now, Lord. Allow me to repeat the process that you've done with the prophets in the times of the past. Your words, my mouth. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 I am just beyond honored to share with you today and to once again to address this august body of believers. I'm indebted to Brother LaRue for picking me up today and the hospitality and friendship and spirit of Pastor Peter. I am here, as he mentioned, with the IC3 conference. It is a church conference for pastors that we do in Houston, Texas, and we have branched out and now have the opportunity to make it global. And what better place is there to make something global than to bring it to South Africa? And so that is why I am here. And it is such a blessing and pleasure to look out and see your faces. I am from Brooklyn, New York. That is where, is anybody familiar with Brooklyn? That is where I've been the pastor of the Cornerstone Baptist Church now for going on 17 years. And my wife and I are blessed with three children. Well, they are ages 21, 18, and 14. And we are blessed to be the parents of Lawrence the Fourth, Karina, and Nyla. And so I bring you greetings all the way from Brooklyn and the United States. And I just ask that God will bless our time together. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to lift up in your hearing today a passage from the book of 2 Timothy. And I actually want to read in your hearing from the first chapter, beginning at verse 3, and I'll conclude at verse 7. And so our scriptural emphasis for today will be 2 Timothy, Paul's letter to his son in the ministry, Timothy, the first chapter, reading verses 3 through 7. If you have it, say amen. Hear now the word of the Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did with clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. And then verse 7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. God's word. I want to use as a heading for just a few moments from the thought, the mission is possible. The mission is possible. This was a series that I did at our church in Brooklyn entitled The Mission is Possible. And in this particular installment, the title was The Mission is Possible Even When You're Hurting. Even when you're hurting, the mission is possible. In the United States and really all across the world, there's a series of movies entitled Star Wars. Has anyone heard of that before? Star Wars. And in the spring, they produced another episode of this movie that's been going on since, I believe, the 1970s. And on this particular day, all across the world, it was designated to salute the creator and the whole epic series of Star Wars. And there's a catchphrase that they call them Trekkies. There's a catchphrase they use, and it's just they greet people and they say, "May the Force be with you." You've heard that before? They say, "May the Force be with you." And so this is a greeting they were giving on that day. It was one of the first weeks in the month of May, National and International Star Wars Day. And so I live in New York, and so I noticed people were dressed like different characters from the Star Wars movie. And many people were walking around with that password, that watchword, "May the Force be with you." And that's an interesting greeting, isn't it? It is a salutation of power, a salutation of welcome, and it is a salutation that brings hope to many Trekkies. And even as winsome as that greeting may be, it's still not the ultimate power, is it? I'm thankful today that even when we're hurting, we have a power much greater than Star Wars. I'm thankful today that I can come all the way from the United States of America and look into the eyes of believers in South Africa and know that we share in common a greater force than Star Wars. We share in common a greater force than the galactical producers of Star Wars. We have the gospel, and the gospel gives us strength. The gospel lets us know that the mission is possible even when we're hurting. And I don't know what you're dealing with today. I don't know what's on your plate. One poet said that all of us have seasons of life. All of us have different intervals of our lifetimes. And he says, "Be still, sad heart, and cease repining, for behind the dark clouds is the sun still shining. Thy fate is a common fate to all, for into each life some raindrops must fall." And I'm looking at someone right now. Some raindrops have been falling in your life, and you're wondering, is my mission possible? Perhaps some raindrops have been falling in your life, and you're wondering, how will I make it through the rest of this year? Someone else, some raindrops are falling in your life and they brought grief or uncertainty. But I want to encourage you today. I've come all the way from the United States of America to tell you that your mission is still possible. And so it's right here in the passage today. Paul's letter to his son in the ministry, Timothy. Paul gives him instruction. I have a two-part outline. The first thing that I want to share with you today is what can't stop us. Paul shares with Timothy what cannot stop us. And he just simply says in verse 7, you know this verse, he says, "God has not given us a spirit of fear." God has not given us a spirit of fear. Psychologically, we understand fear. They tell us that it starts in the sensory cortex of our mind. It moves into the hippocampus dome, and it leads to what psychologists call irrational thinking, irrational thoughts. That's why when many of us are plagued by fear, we say things that we really don't mean. We start to believe things that really aren't true because we are surrounded and plagued by fear. That's the scientific definition of fear. It starts in our minds. But for us, for the biblical definition of fear, this word in the passage, verse 7, if you have your study Bibles highlighted, underlined, your PDAs, the word fear, many times when I looked at this passage before, I thought it was the word phobeomai in the New Testament, from where we get our English word phobia. But this particular word, fear, in verse 7 is the Greek word delias. And it's an interesting word picture. It's the word picture of soldiers. Soldiers who have been preparing for a battle. They've been training, they've been studying, they've done everything physically to get prepared for the battle. But in the day of the battle, they run away because of fear. Somebody say fear. Fear. Cowardice. Timidity. This is what Paul is saying, that we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And God has not given any of his soldiers a spirit of fear, timidity, or cowardice. That's why the mission is possible. And Paul shares this with Timothy. He says, I know that you have the ability to conquer your situation, because remember, just the quick backdrop or biopic of Timothy, he's Paul's son in the ministry. He's pastoring a church in the town of Ephesus. He's a brand new pastor. He's a young pastor. And Ephesus is a tough town. Ephesus is a place where there's great affluence. Ephesus is a place where there's great powers and pressures. And so he's encouraging Timothy to let him know that the mission is possible, to let him know, listen, Timothy, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. And I want you to stir up the gift. The gift that you have. And I know it started with your grandmother Lois, and it was in your mother Eunice. And so he's saying, and I laid hands on you. And so God has not given you a spirit of fear. And I want to say that to everyone in this sanctuary today. Regardless of what you're dealing with or with what you're facing, God has not given you a spirit of fear or cowardice or timidity. All of us are soldiers in the army of the Lord. There's an acronym that's used often on social media, and psychologists use it as well. It's called FOMO. F-O-M-O. Are you familiar with that? And FOMO stands for what? The fear of missing out. Scientists and psychologists say that now we have an anxiety-riddled society, where people see things happening on social media, they see things happening on the news, they see things happening in the newspapers, and they read and they see, and then they have the fear of missing out because they're not there, because they haven't experienced it, they haven't seen it, and so it causes, once again, fear. But I want to remind you today, God has not given you the spirit of fear. That's not what the soldiers in the army of the Lord have been packed with. There's a proverb in the States we use. It just simply says, when the roots are deep, there's no need to fear the wind. And there are deep roots in this church today. Deep roots since 1903. Deep spiritual roots. And I know winds are blowing. Winds of xenophobic resentment are blowing. Winds of uncertainty. Winds of different opinions. Winds of fear. But because you have deep roots, I want to encourage you to remember when you leave here today that God has not given you a spirit of fear. Fear cannot stop you. But secondly, let me tell you also today, listen what Paul says. He shares with Timothy what cannot stop him, and that is what? Three people heard what I said. What's the first thing that can't stop us? What's the first thing that can't stop us? What's the first thing that can't stop us? Fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But then he says what God has given us. He says God has given us power. God has given us love. And God has given us a sound mind. Think about that. Beautiful triad of attributes that have been given to the believer. He says God has given us power. Oh, I thank God for the power that he's given us. This word power in the original language is the word dunamis, from where we get the English word dynamite. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but anytime dynamite comes into contact with something, it's never the same. God has given us dunamis. He's given us dynamite, the resurrection power that came from Jesus Christ. The resurrection power lies within each one of us. And so he says, God has given us power. He's telling Timothy, God has given you power. Power to lead in Ephesus. Power to be the pastor and proclaimer that God has called you to be. Power to lead a church. That's why 2 Timothy is really a manual for Christian leaders, isn't it? It tells us about deacons and elders. It tells us about the church organization. And so this is all the information that Paul is pouring into Timothy, his son in the ministry. So God has given us power. Aren't you thankful that God has given you power? And I claim that power today. He's given us power to overcome jet lag. Pray with me for power. But God has given us power. But you know, the challenge that we have, God has given us power, but still we face challenges, don't we, as believers? One of the biggest challenges that we face is the adversary, Satan, the devil himself. And I think we must often remind ourselves that Satan does not walk around with a pitchfork in his hand and red tights. That's a caricature that he would like us to believe. And so Satan doesn't carry a pitchfork, but he does carry a pitch. And the pitch that he uses quite often is an attempt to dilute and divert our power. Power to look more at our differences than what we have in common. He wants to divert the power that we have to work together for the good of the kingdom of God. There's enough power right here in the Claremont Baptist Church, enough power to change Linfrey and Cape Town and all of South Africa. There's power in this room. Oh, and I ask that you will combine and use your dunamis together. God has given you power today. Not just one person's power, but everyone's power and spiritual gifts that are in this church. Everyone on every single pew is immensely talented and gifted. And my prayer as a visitor is that you will be able to combine your dunamis together, for the mission is possible. Because he's given us power. But not only has he given us power, if you look at your Bibles, he's given us another attribute, which is what? He's given us what?
Love.
There used to be a song that started off, it said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. You all do listen to the radio, huh? I thought you just listened to Christian broadcasting only. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And someone is saying, yes, Pastor, I have love, but you don't know what I've been through in my life. You don't know the hurts and disappointments that I've had. You don't know it. I want to love, but my heart has been broken. I want to love, but my trust has been abused. I want to love, but my love has been taken for granted. And yet and still, Paul says, God has given us a spirit of love. And someone might be saying, well, that's easy for Paul to say, to talk about love. After all, he is the Apostle Paul. But Paul also had hardships and hurts and humps and hurdles in life. And yet and still, Paul says, God has given us a spirit of love. He's telling this to Timothy. He's telling Timothy to love people. But here's the relevant question. How do we love the unlovely? And we are called to love everyone, aren't we? Paul speaks about love even though he himself had been hurt and disappointed. When you look in this book, 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10, he speaks of a gospel comrade by the name of Demas. Paul had spent time with Demas. Paul had trained Demas. Paul had prayed with Demas. But then Paul records in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, he says, for Demas, having loved this present world, has forsaken me and gone back to Thessalonica. Bye-bye. But this is someone that Paul prayed for. This is someone that Paul handpicked and yet and still deserted him. And yet and still, Paul encourages us all today that God has given us a spirit of what? Love. Paul had been hurt, but he still advocates for love. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith has done me much harm. We don't know what all the inflictions could have been. Alexander was one who made shrines and the idols that people in Ephesus would worship. But once the gospel came to town, things changed. The more Paul preached about Jesus Christ, the more the sales of Alexander's shrines went down. And so perhaps he sought vengeance on the Apostle Paul. And someone, I'm looking at you right now, and you're saying you've had some Alexanders in your life. Someone could say, I had a supervisor who has done much harm. I've had a family member that has done much harm. I've had a friend that has done much harm. We've all had someone who has done harm to us in life. Raise your hand if you've ever had someone do harm to you in life. Look around the sanctuary. Every hand is up. And if your hand is not up, we need to see you after service so that you can tell us the secret of your sensational life. Every one of us has been hurt. Every one of us has felt betrayal. And yet and still, Paul says, God has put something in us that allows us to love even the unlovely. I want to remind you today, the mission is what? Your mission is possible. Fear can't stop you. Your mission is possible. God has given you power for your mission. Love to carry out your mission. But lastly, he says, I have given you what? A sound mind. Some translations say sound discipline or disciplined mind. It's the idea, it's the concept of being able to stay composed. It's the idea of a wild horse that has been tamed. It's the idea that the mind is our central machine. And every morning, one of my prayers is just simply, Lord, keep my mind. Because there's a lot of things that can disturb our minds. In Proverbs, Solomon said, as a man thinketh, so is he. As a woman thinks, so is she. I like that idea of combining our wows, women of worth and women of the word. And if you're going to have worth, if you're going to understand the word, that will give you a disciplined what? Mind. And I want to encourage you, see, as you ask God to keep your mind, here's a quote, don't be sidetracked by people who are not on track. And if we're honest with ourselves, many times we've We've almost been sidetracked by people who aren't even on track. And so that's why we have to pray that God will keep our minds. Keep our minds as we serve in ministry. Keep our minds as we lead our families. Keep our minds as we run our businesses. Keep our minds as we serve in the community. Keep our minds even when all of the world is falling apart. He's given us a sound mind as a believer. And so that also means just because it puzzles me, I can't let it paralyze me. Have you ever had some things that puzzle you? Just because it puzzles me, I won't allow it to paralyze me, because I'm asking God to keep my mind. Give me strength. Give me clarity. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. And all that comes with a sound mind. Well, I've tried to convince you today that the mission is still possible. The mission here at this great church is possible. The mission of the Great Commission that God has given us and has passed down now for 2,000 years, it is possible. Why is it possible? Because God has not given us the spirit of what? I'm reviewing with the class. God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. Fear cannot stop you. It's not of God. You are a soldier in the army of the Lord. Do we have any soldiers in here today? You're soldiers in the army of the Lord. And once you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, his death certificate became your birth certificate. And so you are a soldier in the army of the Lord. So fear can't stop you. And then he tells us what can help us. He said God has given us the spirit of what? Power. He's given us power. Dunamis. Resurrection power is inside of you. But he's also given us a spirit of what? Love. Even when I'm dealing with the unlovely. And lastly, he's given us a spirit of a sound mind. Let me close with this. How much more time do I have? I have another 45 minutes. In summation, that pastor said yesterday, I was in Nairobi. I have some family, extended family members who are in the Peace Corps, and their assignment is Nairobi, Kenya. And so I got a chance to tour Nairobi yesterday, and I've always wanted to go past the Westgate Mall there in Nairobi. I don't know, some of you may remember in the fall of 2013, there was a mass shooting there. Some militants took over that beautiful shopping area. Nearly 70 people lost their lives that day. One woman who survived, her name is Kothari Masharu. She's a Kenyan journalist. And she describes the day as starting out, picturesque sky, having brunch on the terrace. And as she was enjoying her brunch, suddenly she heard the noise of bullets coming from everywhere. And so she saw hordes of people running, and she knew that danger was afoot. And so she started running as well, and while she was running, she was looking for a place to hide frantically. How could she get away from the militants and the shooters? And so she found a spot right behind a car. And so she got behind that spot, and she also saw a young boy who was right beside that spot, and so he was already laying down, and then his cell phone started to ring. And she knew that would be something that would allow and detect the militants to come to that area. And so she reached into the pocket and grabbed his cell phone and turned it off. But when she put the phone down, she noticed that she had blood all over her hands. So she took that blood and she rubbed some of it on her legs. And she touched him again, and she put some more on her arms. And then she took one last deep breath, put some blood in her hair, and she just laid there trying to play dead, hoping that the militants would see her and just figure that she was already dead. And she said, while she was on the ground, she said it seemed like an eternity. She said that she could even feel the wind of the gunman pass over her. And she was on a talk show later after that aftermath, and they asked her the question, how did you survive this attack? 69 people died. Others are still hospitalized. How did you survive this vicious attack? And she simply responded by saying, the only reason I survived is because I was covered with someone else's blood. And because I was covered with someone else's blood, they thought I was already dead. Because she was covered in blood. But she was covered with someone else's blood. And I want to posit to you today that that's the reason why you and I are in this beautiful sanctuary today. Because we've been covered with someone else's blood. The man from Galilee, we've all been covered in his blood. You and I are still alive today. We've had hit and miss accidents, dangers seen and unseen, but we're here today because we've been covered in another man's blood. And his name is Jesus. Can I say his name one more time? His name is Jesus. And because we've been covered by the blood of Jesus, that's why you and I are still here today. That's why you and I have hope today. That's why you and I, although teardrops fall from our eyes, although clouds rise, we are covered in the blood of Jesus. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light out of darkness. My God, that's who you are. The one who covers us. And that's why, in summation, the mission is possible. Because you and I have all been covered in another man's blood. His name is Jesus. May the blood be with you.